Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, October 5th, 2025. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the weekend special titled For A&R Mechanical Contractors, From Spark to Flame. The company that started in Urbana Couples Home joins the Centennial Club. We want to be remembered for working with the community. This article is by Jana Wiersema, Urbana. A company that started as a plumbing business in the East Urbana home of Bud and Bea Richard is celebrating its 100th anniversary. During the Great Depression, the founders had to work with families in this local community to accept even chickens for a form of payment so they could actually keep the lights on, said Nate Richard, owner and CEO chairman of A&R Mechanical Contractors and great-grandson of Bud and Bea. We're going to have challenges that we face, but we want to be a company remembered for working with the community. A&R is celebrating its centennial today with a private event that includes an official proclamation from Mayor Deshaun Williams. However, October 4th isn't the official anniversary for the four-generation family-owned business. It's just a Saturday where the Illini aren't playing at home, Nate said with a laugh. Other members of Champaign-Urbana's Centennial Club include Busey Bank, English Brothers Company, Josh Kuhn and Company, and Sullivan Parkhill Automotive, which was recently acquired by Sam Lehman Automotive Group. D.W. Richard, son of Bea and Bud, partnered with Ken Asklund to expand the company's offerings into heating, ventilation, and air conditioning controls and sheet metal in the 1960s, which was when the business became known as A&R Mechanical Contractors. Today, the company's services include HVAC, piping, excavation, sheet metal, civil services, construction management, and, of course, plumbing. A&R has a workforce of 360 employees. While the company is headquartered in Urbana, it also has locations in Mokena and Bloomington, as well as West Lafayette, Indiana. Its service area is anywhere within 200 miles of its Urbana and West Lafayette sites, said President Steve Hall. In reflecting on how the business has changed over the years, owner and former president John Richard, grandson of the founders and uncle to Nate, recalls that his tenure was a period of growth. We took advantage of the growth that was occurring in Champaign-Urbana at that time, said John, who served as president from 1988 to 2018. He added that Carl Health's Heart and Vascular Institute, completed in 2013, was an especially pivotal project for the company. Company officials said that A&R has also worked on several facility projects at the University of Illinois, including the Chemical and Life Sciences Laboratory, renovations at Geese Memorial Stadium and State Farm Center, the National Petascale Computing Facility, the Siebel Center for Design, the Baseball and Softball Training Centers, Stephen S. Weimer Hall at the Geese College of Business. The last 100 years have also brought advancements in technology. Hall, who has been with the company for 22 years, said that every tradesperson used to have a set of blueprints in hand. Now they each have a tablet instead. He added that the Heart and Vascular Institute was one of the first local projects where the A&R used virtual design construction, which involves modeling projects before you begin construction to try to alleviate any obstacles between design and application. He said that one of the reasons the company has lasted so long is its ability to stay on the forefront with innovation and technology in the industry and focus on identifying different ways to build it better. Hall also noted that the industry market has shifted, which led the company to expand eastward and open its West Lafayette office in recent years. Of course, there have been challenges in the last 5 years. When the pandemic hit, there was a short pause for a couple of days to start to digest what was going on, Hall said. However, A&R's work was deemed essential, so business had to carry on as usual, albeit with constant adjustments as new COVID-19 guidance was released. Our team was able to really adapt and overcome in those circumstances, he said, and I think it made us stronger as a group and as a team to overcome that adversity during that time frame. It set us up for success later. But the economy did slow, John said. We were basically executing backlog. Hall agreed, stating that there was a regional slowdown that has lingered. In other areas, it's started to pick up, and so we've been able to adapt and take advantage of those other areas that are starting to recover, he said. Another change in recent years has been the return of Nate, who started working at the company when he was a teenager, and then pursued a career in real estate, where he founded companies such as Reichard Capital. He returned to A&R about 3 years ago and joined the company's board. In addition to wanting to carry on the family legacy, he also felt that he could use his expertise to help the company. With what I was doing in parallel, I thought, man, I could actually add a lot of value here with strategic relationships and sort of forging new partnerships and vision for how we can accelerate all the work and grow and preserve what we've already done here the last 100 years, said Nate, who remains active in the real estate industry. He recently gave $5 million to the Geese College of Business, which led his alma mater to rename the Real Estate Finance Academy after him in recognition. College officials said in April that the gift is intended to expand applied learning, industry mentorship, and student access, strengthening the pipeline of career-ready graduates. Nate said at the time that the partnership with U of I also reflects a shared commitment to entrepreneurship and expanding opportunities for underrepresented voices in the real estate industry. He pointed to this as an example of forging partnerships and building ecosystems that will benefit ASR as it moves forward. The Reichard Real Estate Academy will help the next generation learn all the pieces that go into building buildings, he told the News Gazette on Thursday. He added that it's also important to maintain a connection to A&R's roots in hard work and the grittiness that got the company through hard times. You have to have the attitude that you're not going to give up. And our guys do the hardest types of work, the toughest jobs, and we get them done successfully, said owner and safety manager Neil Asklund, son of Ken, in a tribute video. Hall said that the company's values are one of the reasons for its longevity, including its foundation in faith and support for employees, who are the ones who make the difference every day. We still want to be a family-owned business, but still able to adjust, to adapt, and take advantage of the changing landscapes, he said. This is a really massive milestone, Nate said. It's somewhat an inflection point of recasting another. Hopefully, we'll be in business another 100 years, right? That's the challenge that we have, to really build this legacy, or at least the company, in such a way where it can be passed down. We have our work cut out for us. Continuing inside the front page, we have Top of the Morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossow. The CU Marching Showcase, 7 p.m. Monday at Tommy Stewart Field, by the numbers. Three rivals sharing the same field for a fantastic cause. It's year four of an Easy on Ears event that brings together high school bands and color guards from Champaign Central, Centennial, and Urbana. We wanted to create an event where all of our students and their families could see each other's hard work and appreciate all of the time, effort, and love that students put into their music and their marching shows, Urbana band director Stacy Peterick said. Taking part, in addition to each school's performance, the Marching Maroons, Marching Chargers, and Tiger Marching Band will team up to play the pep band classic, Hey Baby, with 381 students taking part. Four food trucks on site, starting at 6 p.m., Piatto's, Smith Burger, Flower and Fire Pizza, and Kona Ice. And $6,391, the amount raised the first 3 years, that goes toward everything from equipment repairs to instrument purchases to feeding kids. At Centennial, boosters provide bandwidths for every competition. Admission is free, but donations are accepted. 1. One take needed by Centennial drum major Kaylee Krohn to deliver a clever video shout-out on the News Gazette's social media pages. Handed a phone at last weekend's competition in Charleston, Krohn and fellow Chargers, pictured, delivered on cue. When pitched the idea by Centennial Band booster Aubrey Williams, she said, "I've had a vlog since like I was born. I got you," Williams said. She gathered them all up and handed my phone back to me 5 minutes later. Great leader and all-around good kid. And in history, area history, in 1925, Harry McNovin and O.C. Pyle, Champaign theater owners, acquired control of the Sipes Theater, the largest playhouse and motion picture house in Kokomo, Indiana. The corporation previously owned the Victory Theater there, and the deal left them without competition. Pyle and McNovin now own and operate 6 theaters and a number of dance halls in Illinois and Indiana. In 1975, although a record 1 out of every 10 Illinois workers were unemployed last month, the jobless rate in Champaign-Urbana decreased slightly from 4.5 to 4.4%. Almost 500,000 persons were out of work in Illinois during September. The figures, released by the Illinois Department of Labor, showed a deepening of the unemployment gloom in the state at a time when the national picture brightened slightly. In 2010, a new city website designed to be more helpful to residents and better represent the Champaign community to business prospects could go live Wednesday morning. It takes advantage of evolving technology, said Information Technologies Director Fred Hallinar. Documents like meeting agendas and city council memos and other reports will be more organized and easier to find, Hallinar said. And in international history, today's highlight, on October 4, 1957, the space age began as the Soviet Union launched Sputnik 1, the first artificial satellite into orbit. On this date, in 1927, sculptor Gutzon Borglum began construction on what is now Mount Rushmore National Memorial. And in 1965, Pope Paul VI became the first pope to visit the Western Hemisphere as he addressed the UN General Assembly. And in 1970, rock singer Janis Joplin was found dead in her Hollywood hotel room at age 27. In Capital News, Illinois, headline is, Seventh Circuit denies Madigan's bid for freedom amid appeals process. Ex-Illinois House Speaker scheduled to begin 7.5-year sentence October 13th. It's by Hannah Meisel, Chicago. With 10 days until former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan is scheduled to report to federal prison, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday denied the longtime Democratic power broker's bid to remain free while he challenges his corruption conviction. Without extraordinary intervention from the U.S. Supreme Court, Madigan's hopes for staying out of prison are slim as he prepares to surrender on October 13th. The former speaker was convicted in February on 10 federal corruption charges, including bribery, after a lengthy trial in which he was accused of trading legislative action for jobs and contracts for his allies, along with introductions to potential clients for his property tax appeal law firm. The Chicago-based appellate judges did not sign their order or explain their ruling Friday, but it affirms the decision from Madigan's trial judge in August, who wrote that the ex-speaker's entire motion rides on routine and meritless objections and had not come close to meeting the high burden he'd need to argue to stay out of prison. As such, he clings to false hope, U.S. District Judge John Blakey wrote. Blakey sentenced Madigan to 7.5 years in a June hearing, during which the judge ruled the former speaker had committed perjury when he made the risky decision to testify in his own defense as the trial drew to a close. The defendant's testimony was littered with obstruction of justice, and it was hard to watch, Blakey said at Madigan's June 13 sentencing. To put it bluntly, it was a nauseating display. You lied, sir. You lied. You did not have to. After Blakey's ruling denying bond in August, Madigan's new appellate attorneys argued to the Seventh Circuit that the judge's ruling set an unreasonably high standard under which almost no defendant could obtain release pending appeal. In complex fraud and corruption cases like this one, courts routinely grant release, the lawyers wrote in a brief last month. The 83-year-old former speaker will be pushing 90 by the time his sentence is through, unless he wins on appeal. Madigan spent handsomely on defense attorneys dating back to before he was even charged, including an expensive trial team that won him acquittals on 7 of his 23 corruption charges, while the jury deadlocked on another 6 counts. But the former speaker, whose $40 million net worth was revealed in legal back and forth prior to sentencing, is not done shelling out for court battles. This summer, Madigan hired a high-profile team of lawyers to handle his appeal, including Lisa Blatt, who holds the record for the woman with the most cases argued, more than 50, in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. Blatt's win rate is equally remarkable, including successfully arguing for a Northwest Indiana mayor whose corruption case spurred the high court's conservative majority to narrow the federal bribery statute in a 2024 decision. Lawyers for Madigan and those separately convicted of bribing him have leaned heavily on that ruling, which stipulates an after-the-fact gratuity is not the same as a bribe agreed on before an elected politician performs an official act. And earlier this year, a federal judge threw out the majority of bribery convictions for the so-called ComEd 4, a group of ex-lobbyists and executives for electric utility Commonwealth Edison, who were found guilty after their own Madigan-related trial in 2023. The judge ruled that while there was evidence of bribery between the ComEd defendants and Madigan, there was enough reasonable doubt to grant a new trial because it wasn't clear that the jury would have reached the same verdict if given instructions more in line with the Supreme Court's decision last year. But there will be no retrial. The ComEd 4 were finally sentenced this summer on their remaining conspiracy and wire fraud convictions, and the bribery counts were dismissed. Blatt and her colleagues have another month to file arguments in Madigan's larger appeal, but they've already previewed their fight against prosecutors' use of a stream of benefits theory of bribery where they were not required to prove a smoking gun handshake moment, but rather tried to convince the jury of a pattern of benefits over 8 years. And they'll also try to push for the U.S. Supreme Court to define the meaning of corruptly, which was discussed during Blatt's 2024 oral arguments, but not conclusively addressed in the court's decision. Even so, Madigan's attorneys tried to plant doubt about the prosecutor's use of the word and their client's intent during closing arguments in January. The Federal Bureau of Prisons has not yet assigned the former speaker to a correctional facility, but his attorneys requested he serve out his sentence at a prison camp in Terre Haute, Indiana. If that is granted, Madigan will join former ComEd lobbyist Jay Doherty, who reported to the Terre Haute Federal Corrections Institution earlier this week. Doherty was sentenced to a year in prison for his role funneling money to Madigan allies through his longtime ComEd contract. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide, and it is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. And continuing with our communities, from the Champaign County Sheriff's Office, a Chicago man arrested in Urbana stabbing incident. This is by the News Gazette, Urbana. A Chicago man has been arrested after allegedly stabbing another man in the back Friday morning in Urbana. According to the Champaign County Sheriff's Office, at 11:13 a.m., a 45-year-old man was riding an electric bicycle west on Country Club Road when he encountered a man police later identified as Emmanuel Ogini, 19, of Chicago, walking in the opposite direction. The victim said Ogini caused him to fall from the bicycle, and after recovering from the spill, he began to follow Ogini. The victim said Ogini then produced a knife and stabbed him in the back before fleeing. A witness to the stabbing in the 1800 block of North Kohler Drive monitored Ogini until deputies arrived and took him into custody. Deputies recovered a knife from Ogini during a search. The victim was taken to Carle Foundation Hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Ogini was taken to the Champaign County Jail and charged with aggravated battery. The investigation continues. The Sheriff's Office asks anyone with additional information to please call the Criminal Investigations Division at 217-384-1213. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Those wishing to remain anonymous can contact Champaign County Crime Stoppers by phone at 217-373-8477 or 373tips.com or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. And from the Champaign Police, article titled Search On for Suspect in Bank Robbery. This also by the News Gazette, Champaign. Police are searching for the suspect in a Friday afternoon bank robbery in South Champaign. Shortly after 3 p.m., a man entered a bank in the 1000 block of South Neal Street, threatened staff and demanded money, then fled with an undisclosed amount. No injuries were reported. Police said there was no evidence a weapon was displayed. Authorities continue to search for the suspect. And Champaign Police ask anyone information to call them at 217-351-4545. Arrangements can be made for information to be shared privately. Champaign Police extended thanks to University of Illinois Police and the Illinois State Police for assistance in the investigation. And continuing with Kathy's mailbag. Among the questions asked of Kathy Reiser was, I saw a bright blue City Center team cleaning cart with two guys cleaning ground floor windows at M2 last week. What is the City Center team? In mid-September, the City of Champaign announced the launch of its new City Center team. It consists of six members called Block by Block Ambassadors and an operations supervisor who provide engagement, outreach, and cleaning services across Champaign's downtown, midtown, and campus town areas. City Center team members assist with helping visitors, monitoring safety, cleanup, area beautification, graffiti abatement, and more, according to a city press release. The Champaign City Council approved this partnership on July 15th. The cost of the three-year agreement is not to exceed $644,000 $411.65. The next question was, are there rules for mowing along rural roads in Champaign County? I see mowing along the roads seemingly for appearance purposes, and the slippery grass clippings left in the roads are dangerous for motorcyclists. Champaign County Engineer Jeff Blue says each road authority is responsible for mowing its own roadsides. That is the case for state, county, township, and municipal roadsides. The Illinois Department of Transportation also maintains federal highways and roadsides. In a nutshell, the county allows landowners to mow their own roadsides if they wish. Our large tractor mowers do not give a lawn-like appearance after we have mowed, and many landowners desire to have their appearance have that appearance adjacent to their property. Blue said the county tries to mow strategically, doing its part to help the environment and Illinois businesses. County crews typically mow for the first time in midsummer and again in the fall. Our rotary mowers on the back of tractors do not deposit grass on the road, and landowners should not be blowing grass onto the roads either, Blue said. The Illinois Litter Control Act classifies grass clippings as litter, making it illegal to deposit them on public roadways. When mowing, it is recommended to change your mower's direction or use a mulching mower to keep clippings in the yard or otherwise off the roadway, Blue said. Violations can result in fines, while specific amounts vary. The Illinois General Assembly website details the penalties associated with the Litter Control Act. And the next question was, any details for the annual Half Century Club dinner? It must be coming up soon. Phyllis Williams, president of the club, says the 2025 meeting and program will be on Thursday, October 23rd at the Unitarian Universalist Church Fellowship Hall, 309 West Green Street, Urbana. Social time begins at 5:30 p.m. and a buffet dinner is at 6. So what is the Half Century Club? It began more than 100 years ago as an annual reunion to celebrate the history and future of Champaign County by those on the plus side of 50. And that is still the purpose today. And the next question was, why was Farm Aid 40 held in Minneapolis instead of returning to Champaign where it started? Was any effort made to bring this reunion event back home? The Farm Aid Festival's organizers certainly are aware that Champaign is where the long-running series of benefit concerts began. Jennifer Fahey, Farm Aid's co-executive director, said the organization has been in touch with the university and the Champaign County History Museum over the past couple years. We plan to visit it in the next month or so. She said Farm Aid has had several anniversary concerts in Illinois, even if they weren't in Champaign. Farm Aid 97, originally scheduled for Irving, Texas, was moved to the New World Music Theater in Tinley Park for a sold-out show. This year, we were very interested in bringing the festival to a state where Farm Aid had not yet been held, which is an important part of our DNA. Minnesota was a great fit for Farm Aid 40 for that reason this year. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for Sunday, October 5, 2025. Please stay tuned.